It's a new song from Ellie Goulding. It's called Guns and Horses on Vectis Radio. It's 24 minutes away from midday. And joining me now live from Texas is Valerie Nettles, mother of Damien. Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
I'm guessing today should be a completely different day, or it would have been. Should have been.
Absolutely. It would be Damien's 30th birthday. And, you think about how it should be, a celebration, but it's really not. It's just another day that marks, you know, another day without knowing where Damien went and what happened to him.
I know it's almost 14 years. And I would imagine, I mean, I've got a 14-year-old son, and I can't imagine putting myself in your place. I really can't. But, I mean, people say it gets easier. I mean, I very much doubt that it does it?
Not really. I just think it becomes a new normal that you have to live in. Life does go on, and, you know, I always thought if anything happened to one of my children, I would just die. But you don't. And you just, you keep on living, but it's a new normal. It's a new dilemma. You just learn to adapt to living within that dilemma. There's just really no words to put it into real focus. It's just you do what you have to do every day. I feel like, you know, at some level that, you know, you have to kind of keep your emotions hidden and sealed away for the most part, because, I mean, I do have to work. I do have to be out there and be, quote-unquote, like a normal person. But at the same time, I have this thing going on in my soul, in my heart, you know, my son, wondering where he is, what happened to him. It's not like it's a lost puppy that you can just go out and get another one. I can't replace him. I have another son. I have two beautiful daughters. And I've got three beautiful grandchildren now. But I'm always aware there's a hole in my life. There's a hole at the dinner table when we all sit together. There's this person missing who went out one night, was last seen on Cowes High Street, and never seen again. For no apparent reason. We can't come up with a reason that, you know, he would have done this to us. He wouldn't have. Something happened, and I just need to know what it is. I just need to know if my son is dead and he's lying there somewhere. I want to know. I want to bring him home. I want to bury him. I just want to take care of him, and I just want to know where he is and what happened to him. I don't want to, I'm not looking for recriminations or blame. I just want my son back. I just want to know where he is. And that's the bottom line. And there's so many families like me that I've come across over the last nearly 14 years who have loved ones that have gone missing, children. They've been searching for a lot longer than me. For their children, and it just doesn't go away, and there's not an awful lot of support out there. We end up having to do these things on our own, and, you know, there's nowhere you can go, really. There is the missing persons charity that does the best they can, but boy, they're underfunded and overwhelmed. So we just keep on going and doing what we can on our own to keep up the fight, to keep up the focus, and just to hope that one day somebody will let us know where our child is.
What was the last thing the police have said to you? What details was the last thing that was said about his, I noticed in the paperwork that we've got, the last thing you've heard from the police was back in January of this year, which, it's 4 or 5 months ago. What was the last thing?
Well, I can't really comment on exactly what it is that they were talking about, but they were making some more inquiries, and I don't know. Obviously, there's what you call Chinese whispers. There's rumors that come up and circulate, excuse me, and then they'll go and look at that and investigate and find out that it's a rumor, or they tell me that this is a rumor that they've heard before, but it was just slightly different this time. And they have done this over the years, but I just feel that really, although they've said that the case isn't closed, and I do have this dedicated police officer that's on the case that will always be there, apparently he's not going to go off and retire anytime soon like the last half a dozen have. And, you know, but I don't hear a lot from them. And I know there's other things, and that's always a preface of any email they send me is, oh, it's been so busy, we've had this going on, we've had that going on, we've had to do with this, that, and the other. And I understand that. You know, and they don't need to really apologize to me before they start, because I do understand, you know, that they have other things to do, and Damien is not their priority, but he is my priority, and I would just, you know, like a little bit more communication from them, I suppose. And if they say they're doing something in January, I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that in June I should still be sitting here wondering what the result of that was.
I know back in, I think there was a summer of 2003, 2000 and maybe 2002, I don't know, I think the Soham murders were going on at the time, and on the Isle of Wight there was a lot of activity in Newchurch, and they were combing some field. Was that something to do with Damien?
Yes, I mean, that was something that... Excuse me. I think somebody said that he said he knew what happened to Damien, and he took the police to a field, and it all turned out to be that he had heard about Damien. He was a prisoner, and I think he'd read and heard about Damien, knew enough about the story to string the police along to waste their time and to embarrass the family that lived not far away. That's all I know about that. But the police did try and dig up a field, and it turned out that the field really had no, it was all rock. Mm. There was maybe 10 inches of soil, so there was really nowhere that anyone could have, without a bulldozer, have dug a hole, you know, on the spur of the moment and buried someone. So it all fizzled out. It was absolutely nothing at the end of the day. It was more to do with this person trying to waste police resources and embarrass a family that lived close by, for whatever his reasons were, but it really had, at the end of the day, it wasn't anything to do with Damien.
How does it make you feel? I mean, I would imagine how I can imagine how it makes you feel that the I mean, you say in your words that the police mislaid some evidence.
Well, yes. I mean, the CCTV film footage, which was owned by the local town council at the time, showed Damien walking along the street. And when I went to the police after a couple of months, I said, well, can we look at the video of earlier in the evening? Can we just look and see who else was on the high street? And they said, oh, well, we've sent it to Netley for enhancement. And, of course, I never heard and never heard, and finally called them again. And they said that they couldn't find it and that they didn't have it. And that the town council had taped over it. Well, I went to see the chappie in Cowes at the time who was in charge of those tapes, and he said, Mrs. Nettles, hand on heart, I swear, the police came and they signed for those tapes and they took them away. And what I was told by the police was that they had left them wrapped up in a rubber band with a piece of paper on there saying, please keep for the police, and left it on top of the video equipment. And the reason they said they did that is because it's specialized video equipment down at the marina where they had to look at the photo, the video, and they couldn't just look at it and take it to the police station and look at it on their video because it was incompatible. So they left it there, which in my pea brain, you know, maybe I watched too much crime scene investigations, but they should have taken that away and taken it to the police station, not left it on top of some video equipment. But they swear to me at the town council they did not tape over it. and that the police took it away. So I don't know who to believe anymore.
Well, it does sound like, I mean, it was obviously evidence, and it wasn't treated in the correct way. I mean, normally you see the TV programs just like me, and you know, things are put in bags and kept. Yeah. I mean, it does sound a bit. I mean, anybody listening to this now will be looking at the radio thinking, oh yeah. Because I know when I read that, I thought, crikey, this is, you know, and you start thinking things untoward. But I mean, I don't want to really go down that route. How difficult is it for you to be positive on a daily basis? I can't imagine what it's like, and no one can imagine what it's like until you're actually going through it. So, I mean, you obviously as a mother do not want to let go. You no. don't, and why should you? And you're in that awful position. But I mean, is your head saying one thing and your heart saying something else?
Well, all the time. And I thought, oh, I can only do this for 10 years. After 10 years, if I've heard nothing, I think, you know, I'm going to have to give it up, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting, mentally exhausting. Not to mention physically, it's exhausting. Wondering, you know, and dealing with all of this, but. After 10 years, I thought, how can I do? I can't turn it off. This is Damien we're talking about. This is a boy who filled our lives for 16 years. Filled our lives with this wonderful personality. All the promise. And he went out one night and never came back. So who knows what happened? I mean, obviously, a lot of people will speculate that Damien went, he fell in the sea. And the thing with that, at the time of night, it was around midnight he was last seen. My husband and my father went down to the harbour master and got some information about yachts and things that were in the harbour that night. But the harbour master did say, and we knew this, that the tide was still out. It didn't come in till 3 a.m. So if Damien had fallen, there are only a few places along the seafront he would have actually fallen into water. He was actually a very, very good swimmer. He had a good respect for the sea. I remember looking at the CCTV film footage, looking down over the parade. You could just see the spray and the sea just blowing in over that parade. Like tremendous wind and rain and wet. And I know Damien would not have gone and put himself there. He was walking home at 10:30 with Chris. They walked up Terminus Road to the corner of the park, which would have been the normal way home. He could have either gone up through the park, he could have gone straight up Park Road, hit Baring, and then gone home that way. But I think that's the route. He did go back into town. We know that he and Chris parted company at the corner of the park up there. Chris went home. Damien came back into town because he thought his sister might be at home. He thought she might be in town because she said, oh, I might come home this weekend. Well, she hadn't come home when he left at 7:30, so I don't think, you know, I'm not sure why he thought she might be there, but that's what he was asking people. Have you seen Sarah? And he went back into town on his own. And I think, you know, he would have probably ended up going out of town, either up Terminus Road, up Sun Hill, or up the one at the far end of the, and I've forgotten the name of that one, it was the one that used to come down where the post office used to be, by the harbour light. He would have gone up that one. I think he would have gone up one of those roads. That would have been his usual trek. And a creature of comfort, he would not have put himself in that storm and gone along the seafront. And like I say, he's a strong swimmer. If he'd fallen in the water, I think he would have had a good chance of getting out.
Not only that, you said earlier on that you checked the tides, and it would have had to have been at a certain place at a certain time. And you know, you mentioned the videos going missing. Just seems to be, I mean, I've always believed that you can put things in and you can make them fit, but it just seems to be, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right, does it, that all of a sudden that's what people thought. Damon was you know, in the water and got sucked out to sea, when you then check the tides and it would have had to have been in a specific place at a specific time. Then the video cassettes go kind of missing. It just seems one sort of thing and another against you, and obviously Damien as well. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, I look at it and I think, crikey, I don't think we're ever going to know. But someone does. Someone knows something.
Yeah, and that's why I think I can't give it up, because I do feel that, you know, maybe somebody was young at the time. They were all young. I mean, 16 is still, you know, very young. And maybe now they've grown up, if they have children of their own, and could put themselves in my position, maybe they could begin to understand what it would be like for us to lose Damien. But I'm just hoping that one day that we will get that answer.
How are you going to spend the day?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm going to drag myself around the house and think about Damien. That's all I can, you know, I mean, the option would be I could go to work. I really don't feel like I could sit in my office today and be normal, because it is not, it's his 30th. You know, those are benchmarks. Those are, you know, along the road, you know, like your 21st and then your 30th and your 40th. And I just dread that in another 2 years, he'll still be lost. I won't know what has happened to him. And it'll be 16 years, which is as long as I ever had him. And that is what I dread. I need to know. I would like to know before. And if somebody out there thinks they know something, so please, it doesn't matter how trivial it sounds or stupid it sounds, if we get enough pieces of that jigsaw puzzle, maybe it'll make a picture.
Do you want me to read out some numbers? The numbers, if you can help, the charity Missing People, formerly known as the National Missing Persons Helpline. The number is a free phone number, so it's not going to cost you a penny. Just a little bit of your time, a little bit of thought. Just cast your mind back to 1996, November time. 0500 700 700. 0500 700 700. And you're right, Val. In any little tiny detail was probably going to be helpful. You can call the Isle of Wight Police on 0845 045 4545. And you can also call the 101 number, which I believe gets you through to Newport Police Station as well. I would imagine that friends and you know, I know you've got family, you've moved your life to Texas, but you've got friends that obviously friends with Damien. I'm sure that they'll be in touch, and I'm sure that you know, that people will phone helplines, and this will trigger people's memory. I mean, it's one of those things where I really do hope that there is an outcome for you, and I know that obviously, if it's the outcome that you don't want, it's obviously going to put an end to it at some point, where you can get on with your life and know exactly, because I would imagine that's the worst thing in the world for any parent, not knowing. And I know that, you know, through no fault of your own, I look at the young girl that went missing a couple of years ago, Madeline McCann, and you think that could have been avoidable. But I mean, you know, this lad was 16, going on 17. I mean, he had everything to live for. He did everything right. He was just going to get a bag of chips, walking down a road, and all of a sudden disappeared. What happened to him? That's what people I can't understand. And I know that, you know, that you being his mother, I mean, people must be listening to this, can't imagine, you know, the pain and suffering that you're going through, been through. And I just hope for your sake that at some point in the near future you get the answers that you want. I really do. Thanks very much for joining us today. And
okay, thank you.
We shall put this online. We shall trigger a few memories, and hopefully we'll get people to call in, and hopefully we'll get some new information.
Okay, well, thank you, Ian. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Valerie.
Bye.